Look how the stars turn on. Look how the stars turn on.
Welcome to episode 21 of The Press Box. I'm Craig Colgan, and once again, I'm joined by local journalist James Rogers. It's been another busy week for Dundalk FC. In this week's show, we'll look back at Saturday's 1-0 win at home to Finn Harps, courtesy of David McMillan's strike on 33 minutes. There's also a look ahead to this week's Europa Conference League clash with Lavadia Tallinn, the FAI Cup first round trip to face Treaty United on Sunday, and we'll hear from Vinnie Pert as he addressed speculation linking him to the Northern Ireland under-21's job in pre-match press conference this week. So, Jim, it's kind of... I don't know if Harps is a big talking point anyway for the pod this week, but kind of a nice win, as I said, four off fourth now and up to sixth place.
Yeah, look, it's not probably a game that will live too long in the memory. To be fair, I thought Dundalk were very good in the first half, played some good football without probably ever really doing enough in front of goal. McGinley, should I say, was okay, but didn't have to be outstanding at all. But some of the play from Dundalk was quite good. The goal, I think Harps will obviously be disappointed, and it was a good build up. But Jurkowski shot, McGinley failed to hold it, and just tap in for McMillan, and ultimately that proved to be enough. Second half, I thought Dundalk kind of took their foot off the gas a little, and Finn Harps had maybe a couple of half chances, not anything too clear cut, but I think a better side and better form might have punished you in those situations. So that's a slight concern with one eye on Europe, I suppose. But now, having said that, the heat on Saturday was sweltering. I think it might be top this week, but I think it was the hottest day of the year, and playing, you know, mid afternoon and that as well is difficult. So it's probably no shame to maybe run out of steam a little, but like, look, it's three clean sheets now on the bounce, as you say, up to sixth, which is another step in the right direction. And you know, with Bowes dropping a couple of points to Longford at the weekend too, it's, as you say, it's four or fourth, so you're still in that sort of mix for that. You know, you can't guarantee the fourth will be good enough for Europe, but you'd like to get it anyway and sort of roll the dice on that one if at all possible.
Yeah, I know it's a hard one to really kind of go into detail, because it's just, you know, I think any other year we'd be kind of talking, like, I think was there a 7-0 victory at some stage over Finn Harps, so they're never kind of, you know, big big important games. But I suppose just kind of these are the games that kind of, even I think at the start of the year, we weren't really, whether it's getting the rub of the green or we weren't kind of winning anyway. But, you know, so I think this is one of those games. It's kind of just good. Get the 3 points, get in, get out. And obviously we have the FAI Cup coming up. But, you know, I do think kind of Europe is definitely kind of more on the agenda now with kind of Lavadia in, Lavadia Tallinn and Talla on Thursday. That's,
yeah, well, we hadn't beaten Finn Harps in the two previous attempts this season. They'd obviously beaten us in Oriel Park in March, and then there was the one-all draw up there in sort of mid-May. So, you know, they're not games you can take for granted. Admittedly, they're on a sort of poor enough run. I think it's 1 point from the last 18 on offer now. And they're slowly, you know, I think there was a point in the season early on where people were saying, oh, Finn Harps, they're not in danger of relegation this season. And look, maybe they're not in terms of direct, but like Waterford are, you know, building up ahead of steam, and maybe they could, I think there's only a point or two between them and Waterford at in terms of the playoffs. So, I mean, that's, you know, from a league perspective, that's an interesting one to watch, but it was an important win for Dundalk just for the simple reason. Look, we discussed it last week, the win in Newtown, it wasn't overly taxing in that, you know, going over with a 4-0 aggregate lead, but many times over the years at all levels, and not just with Dundalk. Have you seen teams drop points after Europe? And I think we've seen that already this week in our own league with I mentioned it there, Bowes drawing with Longford, which is a bit of a surprise result, and Waterford beating Sligo Rovers. So it was still a good win to get because, you know, for the time being at least as well, the league will sort of take a bit of a back seat because we don't actually play in the league now for another, I think it's the 31st of July, it's down for away to Sligo, and that could move as well, you know, depending on European progression, because if we do progress to play Vitesse Arnhem, I think the first leg's away from home twice, you'd be away Thursday, back to back. So, you know, I don't want to second guess things. Maybe we'll go ahead, I don't know, but I'd imagine Vinnie Pert will be certainly asking for that game to be pushed back to, you know, give Dundalk the best possible preparation for that game, because it's, you know, I don't want to get too ahead of yourselves either, but it's going to be a difficult tie if they do get there.
Yeah, it's funny though, like even with Sligo, kind of just looking at the fixtures there, you know, if we do kind of pull Sligo, you know, all going well, or not going well, actually, in theory, if we're out, but, you know, even that fixture, like, I mean, Sligo, as you said, getting beaten in the league, had a poor performance in Europe, actually. And, you know, so it could be just the right time to catch them. Now, I know we're kind of, I'm looking at the league here. We're still 11 points, actually, off them. So it's a tough kind of ask, even kind of to chase them. But it's kind of, it'd be a good time to get them if we do actually kind of don't fare well in Europe. I think with the confidence and stuff, that maybe these kind of little small victories over Harps and things like that are actually going to gain us. I think it could definitely help us kind of build a few things. And with McMillan getting another goal, like, you know, I don't know. It seems that Vinny has steadied the ship, you know, and I know there's all the kind of the Northern Irish talk and stuff that we're going to address now in a while, but like, he does seem to have actually galvanized guys in whatever way. Listen, you were at the Harps game, not me, but like, it seems that it's not necessarily always sexy football, but like, he's now getting things done that we weren't getting done before, and that is just simply holding on to leads, keeping clean sheets and getting 3 points.
Yeah, look, there's no doubt there's been an improvement. I think the major test is to see can they keep it up, particularly with the challenges ahead. Like, I know we probably will discuss it more, but even this week, you know, that cup tie on Sunday in between European legs against Treaty, you know, that has a real banana skin on us, you know, if ever there was one. I think, you know, in previous years, and he referenced it himself, I think it was 2 years ago, in between European matches, the Dundalk played on a Saturday, I think it was, away to Pats, and he made 9 changes, and they went up to Pats and won 1-0. John Mountain, he got the goal. Like, I don't think he can make 9 changes at the moment and still be competitive. And that's the thing, like even in the last 3 games, and I know it's a small base to, you know, kind of go off, but he's named 3 unchanged teams, and it genuinely wouldn't shock me if he went with the same starting 11 for the 4th game in a row now come this Thursday, because I know there'll be a couple of people back perhaps, but I don't know if they'll be ready for the full 90. And the thing about that is, I know having a settled 11 is great in one sense, but I'd imagine just the sheer heat, like I was just looking at it there earlier on this evening, and they're giving, I think, 32 degrees in parts of the country for Thursday. You know, that's the, I know these are professional athletes and they're fit guys and all the rest, but that's very difficult for anyone to play. And I know it's an 8 o'clock kickoff and temperatures will drop a little, but it's still going to be very, very hot. You're talking Sunday, maybe the weather won't be as good then, but you're still talking a 2 p.m. kickoff in the Markets Field. Like, it's all very draining on, you know, energy levels, effectively. So that smaller squad that he, like, I know numbers-wise, but in terms of quality, because I don't think we have that quality where you can bring in the likes of a, you know, say a John Mountain, who maybe wasn't playing for you in Europe, but a very good player in the league. I don't think he has that at the moment where he can make wholesale changes. He might make a few, don't get me wrong, but it's certainly not as strong a squad, I don't feel, and that could be where hiccups come over the next few weeks, because you've seen even, you know, Shamrock Rovers, say, going up to Derry during the week, and like did Richie Towell on the bench, you know, like, and yeah. I know he's only maybe easing his way in, and maybe it's a bad example, but you know, for them to be able to, when they're chasing a game, bring a player like Towell on is massive, you know, whereas you look at our bench sometimes, and with all due respect to the guys on it, is there many on it that's going to improve what's already on the pitch? Probably not.
Yeah, well, I think, like, especially, you know, on nights like now, again, I know Treaty are actually joint second in the first division. I know, obviously, the first division is a lower level, but, you know, doing very credible there. So there are no pushovers, I'd say, anyway, and they're in form. And, yeah, you know, form and confidence mean a lot. But I do, you know, we were only chatting about the likes of O'Kane and Val and, you know, I don't know if Tanner Dogan is still alive, but like these guys are the guys that we should be playing against Treaty. They get these guys minutes and stuff. And that is the benefit of having a bigger squad. So, but I don't think we've that many. I think you are right. Even I'm just kind of flicking through the squad and you think we have about 30 lads, but it's not really the case. We did obviously kind of offload a lot, like, and, but it would be nice to kind of see the likes of Val O'Kane and all these kind of guys that could kind of possibly, that aren't getting the minutes, you know, get them fucking a few minutes in, get kind of, even Han, I don't think Han starts a lot, you know, just so it'd be good kind of good game for him to start and really kind of make his mark. Like, so I think we do have enough to change over the squad potentially that we, you know, we're able to take the big boys out anyway, but I do think Treaty could be a banana skin for us.
Yeah, like there's areas, and I know you mentioned O'Kane, you mentioned Han, and look, O'Kane, to be fair, and I think we all like him, and this isn't anything against him, he's still relatively unproven, and putting him in at a deep end in terms of first division.
This is Treaty a night in the first round of the FAI Cup, man.
Yeah, but it's because, like, first division, and look, I've enough experience of watching it over the years, unfortunately, when you're following the dog, but it's more rough and tumble. Like, you know, you know, you could be bullied out of a game like that very easily, is what I mean by that. But regardless of that, you're mentioning wide positions, and that's fine, but like, there's still areas of the team that you can't rotate. Like, I mean, we've only two fit centre halves at the moment. What do you do there? You have to play Sonny, you have to play Andy Boyle. And they're the sort of conundrums you have. Whereas, I mean, going back to like Vinny's maybe first year in charge, you know, at various points you had, you know, be it Andy Boyle, Sean Hoare, if they played one week, you're bringing in Daniel Cleary and Brian Gartland the next week, and you still had Stephen Folan in the squad as well. So, yeah, those sort of resources aren't there at the moment. But look, hopefully to get the job done, it is one of those you would worry about because, as I say, better, admittedly it was in the EA Sports Cup, but like a better Dundalk team went down to Cove Ramblers a few seasons ago and lost the semi-final there. And, you know, deservedly so as well, because I think these teams raise us. And, you know, Treaty have been going well in the first division, and that brings confidence. Okay, this is a step up for them as well. But they're going in there, like, in good form, and it's a home match. It's probably, to be fair, without being cocky, because they're a new club, it's probably the biggest game in their history. You know, so it's a big thing for them, and like their players are going to be right fired up for it. And you've seen, as I say, better Dundalk sides in recent years came up against maybe like a first division UCD team, and, you know, were put to the pin of their collar. And probably, you know, you take back to some of those games as well, and maybe got a couple of lucky decisions. I remember one game, maybe Daniel Cleary was probably lucky to stay on the field with a rash enough challenge early on. And if things like that go against you, it's a different game altogether. But like, they were tough matches, and I'm not putting maybe Treaty, haven't seen them enough to say if they are or they aren't, but I'm not putting them in maybe in the UCD category. But, you know, cups are there for upsets, and this is, you know, taking off the Dundalk hat, you know, when you're looking through the fixtures, if there's going to be an upset this weekend, this is one you're saying has the potential.
Yeah, and it is actually, it's more important than even kind of before we were chatting tonight, like we were probably kind of going to talk more about kind of Livadia and even a bit of the Harps game. But now, like, when you think about it, the Treaty game is potentially, not the game itself, but the cup run is potentially the most important factor of this season. It could waver Vinny staying or going in theory, or because if we don't get Europe, which is, you know, it's still unlikely to the league, we can say what we want and we're on a good run and this and that, but we definitely have a bigger chance of winning the cup. Like the first round, what is that? That's only the last 16 or something, is it? Or is it 32?
32, I think, yeah.
32. So like you're talking about four games or something, like, you know, so, and you get a nice draw or whatever, you know.
But it's about staying in there. So if you look at some of the other fixtures, and I know there's a lot of sort of Premier V first and, you know, maybe Premier V non-league, but like you look at one of the sort of standout games in the round is Derry City and Drogheda, who I'm not saying you'd be back in the either as favourites for the cup, far from it, but they are the sort of team that on their day can beat anyone and, you know, could put a cup run together, you know, could get to a final, could, you know, like, and straight away one of them's gone. So, you know, it's about staying, it's about the dog staying in there as long as possible. And, you know, one thing we have seen from this team is when they do get to the business end of things, when it really matters, they have the capability to step up and you know, I still do think the cup, and I know we're talking in one sense about worrying about a first round game, and I know, but I still do think if we're going to get Europe, it possibly could be our best chance, because I think on our day, we've still shown we're a match for anyone. Like, I mean, you know, there's been probably a lot more downs than ups this season, but like, we still beat Shamrock Rovers, you know, still, had some very good performances at times, probably struggled more so against teams we should be beating. And, you know, even since Vinny came back in, the only defeat to Shamrock Rovers, you know, you're talking about a penalty incident early in that game that maybe makes it very, very different. Little things like that can either go for you or against you. But I think on our day, I don't think anyone will look forward to getting Dundalk in a cup competition.
Absolutely. Right, so before we look ahead to Thursday's Europa Conference League second qualifying round, first leg tie with Lavadia Tallinn in Tala Stadium, it's fair to say the build-up to this one has been overshadowed by rumours linking Vinnie Peart with a move away from Oriel Park. At today's pre-match press conference, he was asked by Irish Independence journalist Dan McDonnell, was he aware of the speculation and was he interested in the job? Here's what he had to say.
No, well, I'm glad to answer that. Like, I'm in the job 4 weeks, and before that, I applied for a lot of jobs. I've been offered some jobs, but as it currently stands, and I don't want to back and forth from it. I don't mind a follow-up question, but as it currently stands, what has happened in the last 4 weeks is these players and the commitment levels they've shown to me and to the team means that I have no intentions of walking away from this group. I'm here to fight for them between now and the end of the season. People questioned whether I was the right man to come back into this dressing room. Well, I didn't answer that. The players did. They've been absolutely outstanding for me. The buy-in from us as a group. And there's no way between now and the end of the season, bar Jose Mourinho offering me his assistant manager job or whatever, am I going anywhere? I'm here to fight for this group. Between now and the end of the season, and hopefully that if we continue to do what we're doing, that this club has a big future ahead of them with myself and some of those players in the background. So I can't be any more clearer than that. My commitment is to Dundalk for now until the end of the season minimum, and hopefully longer than that.
Is it a job that you're obviously aware of, though? Has that, you know, is something that's come across your radar?
It did like any other job, but it's gone now because I'm in a different situation and I'm committed to Dundalk Football Club, and I can only say that, as I said, I shouldn't have thrown out Jose, because then you get the headlines of a silly comment. What I mean by that is, like anybody, if something else came in, like anything else in life or football, it would pass your desk. But at the moment, I'm 120% committed to this group, and I won't be the next Northern Ireland manager. I'll be the Dundalk manager between now and the 31st of November.
Grant, listen, I'm sorry, one more. No. Like, in terms of the club, what's your relationship there with the club at the moment? Like, you know, you mentioned things have gone okay the last couple of weeks. Like, are you expecting them to come to you, or are you expecting that this is just going to be reviewed at the end of the season, no matter what happens?
I think it will be reviewed in the short term, in terms of where we go. I don't think it's an end of season thing. I think what we've done in the last 4 weeks is we've steadied the ship. We haven't turned it around, or we haven't, you know, miraculously come this great team or club again. What we've done is we've steadied the ship a little bit. We've shown what we can do. We've shown the potential in some of our players here that were written off by even people in the club, rightly so, maybe a month or 6 weeks ago. And we've shown the potential of the group. And we've started to have some internal discussions about what's the next step there. But it's only early days. And over the next very short term, we'll make longer term decisions as a club. Whether that includes me or not, I don't know. But that's because they're not finished yet. They're not finalized. So I see a bright future for the club. But I've nothing concrete to confirm on that at the moment.
It's a nice commitment there from Vinny anyway. Definitely has been sold by the group anyway, that he's committing and they're committing. So there's kind of a lot of the word commitment going on in that interview anyway.
Yeah, look, in one sense, it's a very admirable thing. And I'd say most Dundalk fans, given particularly since he came back and how the team has performed, is happy to hear him say all that. Timeline-wise, I'm not sure the exact ins and outs of, because I'm led to believe he spoke about the job last week. So, you know, is it a case of that he really wants to stay with Dundalk, or the Northern Ireland job's just not available, or he didn't get it, or whatever? Who knows? But look, it looks like he's here. I think the one thing that you would say that we need to really, really look at now is that decisions need to be made and very, very soon. Like, I mean, don't want to go back over the whole Patrick McElhenney thing, but he's obviously another player that's sort of lost in the long term. And I think if Vinny Peart is your man, and certainly he seems to want to stay, going by his words, he needs to be back now. So give the man a contract, or, you know, start planning long term. You know, there's still a lot of players in that dressing room, and I know maybe some changes needed, not denying that, but there's also some players that you should be looking to keep as well. And I think they need to, you know, be given assurances as well. At least talks are on the way or on the horizon, because look, they're human at the end of the day too. And, you know, if I keep saying it, if I was out of work in a few months' time, I'd be looking around as well. Particularly, you know, some of the key assets, you know, that they'll have takers, you know, the likes of your Michael Duffy's, the likes of your Daniel Cleary's, these sort of guys that, you know, I'm sure a lot of clubs would be very, very interested in if they were available, which technically they are now. They're free to talk to other people. So I think that's very, very important that is sort of ironed out. I don't think the whole silence from Peak Six has helped in terms of, you know, repeating itself a little bit here, but this continued sort of sitting on the fence attitude, it hasn't really, really helped in terms of the, you know, preparations for games, the, you know, the solidarity in the squad, whatever it is, you know, because I think it's unfathomable, I think, that, you know, we could potentially get to the end of the season and everyone is let go. Like, you know, I don't think, no matter how good or bad a squad is, I think there's always assets in it, on and off the field. And it's just incredible that this has been allowed peter out, because you're losing potential people. Like, there's no doubt there's a bit of a rebuild needed here. You know, we have slipped from our previous heights, but that rebuild gets a lot harder when you lose some of the, you know, players who are, you know, on their day top in the country.
Yeah, and I suppose, like, you have insight more than most, but, like, even at that, in this level, like, is there still anybody being talked about contract-wise, or is it still Andy Boyle's the only one? Well, Andy, I know he's the only official one, but, like, I'm sure all these guys have agents. I'm sure there's people knocking on doors, like, wanting to chat to Magilton or to Bill. Like, so, like, is there any movement on contracts at all? Like these players aren't, like, at this stage, like, if I'm any of them, I've no issue with them signing any of these pre-contract deals. Like, because, like, you want your employer to rate you, to show confidence and belief in you, and letting you stew over the next few months and worry about your, you know, putting bread on the table for your family and your kids. Like, you know, it's just not the way to do things. It's not the way business is done. And in business, in theory, you know, staff is your most important thing. And so, and it doesn't matter if you're working in Tesco's or you own a football club, you know, your staff is still your staff and they keep the business moving, which is, you know, what our players are doing. And, you know, so is there even talks? Like, have you talked to any agents? Have you spoke to people about, like, is there anything happening or is it literally silence?
Silence, effectively. Like, I mean, I haven't asked an abundance of questions on it because, as far as I'm concerned, there's no real point. I don't think anything major is happening. You know, I think Peak Six, their attitude needs to, you know, they need to make a decision. They, like, as I say, if they want out and the club's for sale, that's fine. Like, I mean, but it's like, if I want to sell my house, I drastically increase my chances by putting a for sale sign in the garden. And mm-hmm. I think they need to do that. Or equally, if they're still here and this is a case of scaling back, that's fine too. But I mean, you still need to have a core of players. I mean, one way or another, I think Dundalk will have a squad next year. Like, and that could involve me or you playing with them, or it could be, you know, some far better players, obviously. But, like, I mean, the level, you know, it's only a couple of months ago we were signing players, you know, looking to break into Asian markets and all this stuff. And, you know, you're now down to a point where, you know, there's still no assistant manager. You know, like, even compare it to, so, like,
what's the movement on that? Not to interrupt you about that, but any movement even on that?
I'm led to believe that Bill wanted Dave Rogers, and it was kind of Dave or nothing. I don't know if Dave necessarily wanted the number two role. He did say, I've heard him speak on other podcasts, I've kind of left him alone personally, just as a kind of respect thing more than anything. But whether he wants to be number two now, having been so close to number one, I don't know. And, you know, there's the argument, does Vinny want him or not? But, like, it's hardly ideal if you, like, I was just going to say there, just because we played Livadia before, like, when we played Livadia and other teams in Europe in recent years, you had people like your Rory Higgins there, people like your Stephen O'Donnells, who, you know, went and looked at these teams. Like, Livadia played at the weekend in their league, won 4-1. That would have been a useful exercise to be at, for example. You know, you're talking about little difficulties that arise that, you know, like, I don't know if it was resolved or not, but I know earlier this week there was a dispute over, normally the team, if they're playing in Dublin, would look to stay the night before a game at a hotel in Dublin as a sort of, you know, eat right, bit of a bonding thing, get the tactics down and all that sort of stuff. I don't believe the cash is there for that. Not sure at the moment if there's a training session in Tala before the game, which would be a, you know, a norm for European fixture. And those little things that, you know, they seem little, but if you're doing your job right.
Where the fuck has the money gone? Like, as you said, 3 months ago, we're signing fucking Korean lads.
They don't want to spend any money. That's the problem. There's no cash for anything at the moment. And, you know, that's within the owner's rights to withdraw support. But, I mean, at the same time, this is a game that, you know, you win six-figure sums from. So, like, in business, you got to spend to make money. And at the same time, like, it has to have been wasted, undoubtedly. But you've got to a point now where at least back them by giving them the just the bare basics and the minimums and stuff. You know, and that's worrying that that's going on, because I think we'd all agree that the purse strings need to be a bit tighter in Oriel Park, but not at the detriment of team performance on basic things that, like, you know, like when Ian Foster, to go back a decade ago, was playing in Europe, these things would have been done. And like when Stephen Kenny first took over and Europe was a sort of not a new thing, because obviously Dundalk has a great European history, but, you know, the right things were being done very early on in terms of preparation and getting the team, you know, and the, you know, doing everything possible to, what's the old saying, fail to prepare, prepare to fail or whatever. So, like, it's just shocking, to be honest, that this is, like, I feel for Vinny at times in regards to, you know, what he has to do, because even, like, he admitted to me after the Finn Harps game, like, he's missed out on three or four players, which is fine. Look, no club has a divine right to sign players and everything, but
any names?
He didn't make any secret. I don't want to go into that, but, like, he didn't make any secret of the fact that he did see key areas of the team that needed strengthening. And look, it's no secret that centre half was one of them, because, you know, there's two fit centre halves at the club. And yes, you know, he's lost, you know, in this window, he's lost Chris Shields, you know, probably, you know, he's lost who's a leader, and a versatile player at that, because he can play in defence or midfield, and yet he can't add anyone really. And you're now down to, like, what's today? Today is the 20th of July. You're like, do I see anyone coming in between now and the end of July? That, you never say never, but it's certainly more difficult as the weeks go by. And, you know, you look at, you just take this week, and I know, listen, every week is the big one. The next game's always the big one. But you look at this week, it could define your season in many ways, because, you know, you go out of Europe, out of the Cup, and people say, oh, that's right, that's Dundalk gone in mid-July, effectively. Whereas, you know, in theory, you go through in Europe, you win another, you know, couple of hundred thousand, and you go through in the Cup, and you know, all of a sudden things are looking up again, you know. So it's a big week, and he's got very little support from the owners. I know he'll always look to defend him, and that's what he probably should do, because they're ultimately his employers and all that, but he's had very, very little support in terms of backing, you know. Like, even you look at our physio situation, and like, David Murphy had left the club a couple of weeks back, just round about the break, and now he's back in filling in, because we'd basically no one else. And that's nothing against, like, David's a top class physio. The Dock are lucky to have him. There's no doubt about that. But it's not a good way to run a club in many ways, you know. So I just think whatever happens from here on in, it's kind of been done in spite of the owners rather than because of them.
Yeah. And, like, this is my whole thing about, like, to go a bit off topic about Vinny, it's like, what are you doing back, mate? You know, you've seen all this stuff, and I knew there's all the whole personal thing. I want to prove to people that, you know, I am better than this. I can be successful, etc. I don't think anybody believed that he wasn't a successful manager. He couldn't do it, etc. I think everybody knew that the owners were the issue with Vinny, and especially coming back now, like him coming back, pumping himself up to, you know, take on this club, take on this giant task now of where we are. And for what? Like, and then to have everything stripped from him as well. So you're literally on your knees from word go. And I don't know. I still have to say I have so much time for Vinny, but I just question the reason of actually coming back. You know, it's definitely a funny one, like.
I'd say privately he probably regrets it. I mean, from the outside looking in, you're probably thinking, I can do something with that squad. I can do better than what's there, and maybe can, but and to a certain extent, and it's only a start, and he probably has already done better than what some that were there in this season have done. But the same old problems don't go away. Like, I mean, you know, has there been suggestions of substitutes made to him already, you know, to put players in by people? Undoubtedly. Mm. And, you know, he did have a good relationship with the chairman, like, in a personal sense, there's no doubt about that. And probably did think that, you know, I can go in here and maybe listen, he watched a lot of football. I'm sure he had players in mind that he thinks could have come in and, you know, made Dundalk a better team. But that's all well and good if you don't get the backing to do it. And when no one wants to spend any money, you know, it's probably been a case of row after row after row behind the scenes. You know, up until recently, I don't know if he even still has. Like, I don't know if he's even signed his contract yet. I know there was a dispute with UEFA over that hadn't been signed, and it's only a very short term deal. But you know, it wouldn't shock me if he has regrets about coming back. And I know he made great noises today, and look, I think 99% of Dundalk fans would be happy with what he had to say in terms of backing the team and all. And like, we all obviously hope he wins on Thursday, but it just, this just papers over all the shite behind the scenes, to be fair, and it's still going on. And it's I don't think anyone, he mentioned, he named, and I know he's a hero of his, he name checked Jose Mourinho in his interview earlier, and just as someone he really rates as a manager, I don't think Jose Mourinho could manage under these circumstances. You know, because you are doing it with one arm tied behind your back. And you mentioned something there about what Vinny has to prove. I think, like, the thing that will always be thrown at him, and I want to stress this isn't something I would throw at him, but it will always be thrown at him that he won a league with Stephen Kenny's squad. And it's probably, that achievement is probably sort of, harshly I would say, but it's, in some people's mind, it's sort of, you know, hindered in some capacity because of that, because, you know, he did it with, you know, effectively inheriting an already very successful team and an already settled team. But I mean, if he does anything this year with what he's dealing with here, and that's like, that's, this has gone beyond players at this point, just all the hullabaloo behind the scenes and stuff. You know, in many ways, he won't win it, but he probably deserves manager of the year more than he did for the year he did win the league. So, like, that's how much crap is sort of going on. We'd probably never know exactly all the ins and outs of it, but it's a mess, to be honest. But it has been for a very, very long time.
Well, I think in that sense, I think if, now in fairness, I'm sure you actually probably have said to us, have said this to him, but in that sense, is does Stephen Kenny kind of, do you think he got a bit of shit about winning with Bowes, saying that it was Roddy's team? Like, he still won the league.
Probably did, yeah. Like, you know, he probably did. Like, I mean, like, I would have spoke to Stephen about that. Like, you're going back a bit here now, but yeah, there is an element of, like, it's like anything in life. No one can ever take that league win away from Stephen Kenny, but it probably does mean more when you literally build something, you know, with your own blood, sweat and tears, which is what Stephen Kenny did. Like, I mean, when he came in here, he had, well, Peter Cherry, Chris Shields and John Mountney from 2012, maybe Mark Griffin as well. I'm just trying to think, Simon Kelly in that. No, I don't think he was there in 2012. But he had very little to work with. He basically had to build something from scratch. And, like, ironically, had done, I think, his thesis on, you know, building a football club, and then put it into practice, and, you know, the rest is history, as they say. But, you know, it happens in all walks of life that, you know, people kind of get their achievements diminished, or, you know, because people are, there's a natural sort of begrudgery in some people that, oh, well, you only won that because of this, or you only won that because of that, or, you know, like, you know, and the Dundalk fans can't talk either. I mean, yeah, the 18 league or the 18 match slag at Rovers for winning half a league last year and stuff, like, it happens. It's sport. Some of it's tongue in cheek and some of it's sort of bitter, and that's the way it is. But yeah, as I say, this is a different sort of challenge now altogether, because he, to be fair, he didn't just come in off the street and take over a team. He was part of the Kenny era as well, and that shouldn't be forgotten, and would have known a lot of these guys. But He did inherit a, you know, probably one of the best teams in League of Ireland history. Whereas this now, you know, it's not as strong a squad. There's no point in saying it is. And there's also disarray behind the scenes, which, to be fair, you know, Paul, you know, when it was Paul Brown and Andy Connolly, they didn't really get involved. You know, they were there to support, obviously, and I'm sure they had their opinions, but by and large, Stephen Kenny was let get on with the job.
Speaking of squads, does Vinny have his lads that had COVID back?
Yeah, I think Greg Sloggett should be back in contention. He was out with a back problem from the Rovers game, so I think that'll be a boost. Sean Murray and Cameron Dumigan were doing running before the game on Saturday, so I think they'll definitely be back. Murray and Sloggett were actually named on the bench but didn't actually sit in it. I think, I don't know where that was, kind of just to fill the team sheet, but they were never in contention to come on at the weekend, really. But I know Patrick Hooban was sort of a little bit behind. He was having a bit of trouble breathing. Just going back to the weekend, hopefully it's improved now. But I don't know if any of them would feature. I'd say bench probably at best. As I say, if it was a betting man, I'd say he could go with the same 11 again for a fourth game running, because it sort of served him well. But whether he feels he needs the sort of steel that a Sloggett could bring in the midfield, maybe perhaps. But he hasn't played in a few weeks either, so it just depends how he's getting along.
Yeah, well, it's funny. I suppose another thing that I was going to bring up now on the pod was, and I suppose, to be honest, before people kind of jump down the bandwagon, this is actually nothing to do with Dundalk FC, but chatting to so many kind of supporters and fans over the last while and stuff like that, and even just about whether it's the podcast or whether it's about the game against Finn Harps, Europe, actually, like, in fairness, Europe in this town is normally, you know, such a key thing. It's fun, it's exciting, it's, you know, it's banter. And you know, from chatting to so many people don't care, and not the care, like, they've less interest now, and it's sad. And it's pure COVID, it's pure restrictions, it's pure not going to games. You know, is it 100 or 200 now in Oriel? I don't know, but it's small numbers, you know. So diehards can't get to games, so you don't care. Even if I get to go and your mate doesn't get to go, is it the same? No, it's probably not. There's no atmosphere. You know, and that's it's genuine. And I have to include myself in that. Europe, with Dundalk in Europe, is always, you know, it's exciting. Everybody's WhatsApping each other. We're looking at the teams, we're doing the things. And, you know, probably even bar doing this, you know, it definitely is on the lower list of my priorities or interests, I have to say. Like, you know, and I don't know, you know, I know you work day and night on fucking Dundalk FC, essentially, but, like, I don't know how you feel about it, but I know from myself, and definitely speaking to other fans and diehard fans, I actually reference in that, I have to say, that I've spoke to over the last week or two, people, we've just lost the graw for it. And this is something I don't blame at Dundalk. I just sadly blame the scenario that the country's in with COVID and all that. We've all been pulled away. But I don't know what you feel on that topic, but it's definitely something that I'm kind of getting from fans when I'm definitely chatting to them.
Yeah, look, it's just not the same. Like, there's no point in saying otherwise, for a multitude of reasons, mainly COVID. I've been lucky enough. You know, fans are starting to come back now, and I have to say, it has made a bit of a difference, but still not the same. What I will say is, for whatever reason, whether it's the layout, whether it's the stadium, I don't know, whether it's just Oriel has been probably the deadest ground I've been in since fans have started to come back. In that, like, I think even as a small example, you were in Drogheda with me the night we were there, and they had 100 fans, made great noise. There's little or no noise in Oriel Park.
But that's hard as well. So, like, I'm a diehard football fan, but I don't make noise. I'm not a singer, so I can't hammer somebody.
It does. I know, but football's about that, and that's what sets, I suppose, the League of Ireland apart, is that, you know, most people have, say, an English club or whatever, and, you know, be it Man United, Liverpool, Chelsea, whatever, Man City, like, but it's effectively, and I'm, look, people might go over a couple of times a year, but it's effectively a TV entertainment thing. Whereas the League of Ireland is, it's getting behind your club. It's getting excited about the possibility of, like leaving aside how good or bad they are as a team, like a potential trip in early August to Holland, you know, like everyone should be like, you know, on Skyscanner or Ryanair or whatever, looking up flights at the moment. You know, even look at Sunday, like a midweek trip down to, or midday or trip down to Limerick, and you know, you're back early enough. Like, I mean, ordinarily these are great days out, you know, with friends, with family, with, you know, they're what makes the league special. They're, you know, what it's all about. And we haven't been able to do that. And it's funny, like you mentioned the apathy, for want of a better word. Like I was actually in Dundalk last Thursday and Friday, and just walking around, I think I met five people one of the days. And I think of the five of them, some of them didn't even know we were playing. Some of them thought we were playing on the Friday. Some of them thought we were playing on the Sunday. Some of them thought it was in Ballybuffet. Like, and look, I don't say this to have a dig at them, because that's not what I'm trying to do. But I heard one of the other podcasts mention a couple of times that the game was in Ballybuffet. And look, we all make mistakes, and that's fine. And I'm not just, I reiterate, this isn't a dig, but it just goes to show that when people like that, who are genuine diehards and love the club, and no one doubts that, are, you know, even unsure of where the game is, it just shows that sort of apathy. And I don't think the club has helped itself in at times too. I mean, that Finn Harps fixture was still listed, you know, as 7:45 on Friday, which it had never been, well, not never been, but it had been originally moved to the Sunday months back before being moved back to the Saturday a few weeks ago. So I think when you're even going onto an official club website and the fixtures are wrong, like, We drew Treaty in the cup last week, and there was no mention of it for a long, long time on the club website, and things like that. You know, it is the official guide, shall we say, of like when the club is playing and when it's wrong. I know. I think that,
I don't think the official guide. If I like, I don't go onto Dundalk FC website to check the fixtures. So like, I don't think them having that right.
Well, if you if you want to see how Dundalk, when are Dundalk playing? If I say to you, do you want to go?
In Google. I'll say Dundalk.
Okay,
fixtures.
Well, that's fine. But like, yeah, but the official Dundalk website I would take, which should be, it was always very good. It was always very good. And I think, look, I'm probably nitpicking, but I think things like, you know, like the tickets could probably be, I know this is a new thing, in terms of, you know, arranging tickets with COVID and all the rest. But I mean, 11 o'clock on Wednesday, the ballots open for a game, what, 30 hours later or something. It's very late notice for people as well, you know, because people have lives and all the rest. And it doesn't affect me personally, but I know it. Other supporters have complained about the process. And look, it's a learning thing. I'm not trying to be critical of the club here, but maybe they can learn about it, because I think if we do get to the next round against Vitesse or whatever, give the tickets out sooner. Like, let people know, let people plan around it, because at the moment it's very, very hard to, you know, for anyone to plan anything, you know, around games. Like, there's, you know, we're lucky that I suppose it'd be 1,000 at the game on Thursday. But, you know, as we speak right now, you know, what, less than 48 hours out from the game, no one's guaranteed a ticket right now. Like, I obviously, if you're a season ticket holder or a Patreon member, you're a bit more secure about your ticket, because whatever, you probably will expect to get one, but no one actually has one as we speak, which is, you know, it can be handled better. But like, ultimately the big problem is like, COVID has just had an impact on us all. And I suppose in particularly recently, I suppose as the country has maybe opened up a little more, there's more to do. Like, it's funny, Saturday evening, for example, you could hear, like, you're in Memorial Park with little or no atmosphere, you can hear the odd bit of crack coming from Kennedy's beer garden, you know what I mean? Like, so there's probably more happening in there than there is in the actual ground, and that's just the way life is. And you're looking at beaches and they're packed up and down the country, and like ultimately 4 o'clock on a Saturday is probably a horrible time to have a game at the best of times, particularly during a heat wave.
True, but I think, like, you know, I've gone out and had pints before, and Dundalk's still on my mind. It's just not now, you know, and it's from chatting to other people, and that's, and this is actually something even for listeners, if they do want to kind of tweet in and stuff, like, and kind of to let us know how you feel about it. I think it could be a good episode as well, because people's just from what I got, like, it's just a nothingness. Now, I do think that's not Dundalk itself, I have to say, but it's just, it's weird to, without the option to get people in. And it's not actually going to see the football. It's the experience is what people want. We want to go into the Lily White. We want to stand and have pints and talk shy to people. And, you know, not even pints, you know, because you want to bring kids. You want to see them running around. But, like, I've been to Oriel Park and other League of Ireland grounds. It's nothing to do with Dundalk. This is a general thing that, like, you know, people are spaced out. It's shite atmosphere. It's shite football on the basis that there is no atmosphere. You know, like, with games before that we were being beat or it's a tight game, you know, you did have a roar of a crowd and stuff. So that's gone as well, because, like, it doesn't matter how loud you can, 100 people aren't getting people going in that sense, you know. So I don't know, and I don't know what the answer is, sadly. I think if Boris took over and just kind of let us open up and get everything going again, then
that would help. But there's always little things you can do to improve it. I mean, like, Bowes didn't have a problem getting 6,000 people in Aviva, you know, when they opened. I think it's gone up now to 8 or 8.5 for the next game. You know, it's about building your thing right. And that's what I'm saying. There's little things the club do or don't do at times. Like, I mean, around the Newtown game, there was no pre-match for the second leg. There was no post-match for the second leg. And that's effectively where you start talking about Finn Harps. It's when you build, because people read these things, like, they mightn't physically go out and buy a newspaper, but they do. Like, even today, the news about the Vinny, you know, declaring he's not interested in the Northern Ireland under 21 job. It was sort of, press conference happened, the news was embargoed from till about 4:30, and then all of a sudden, you know, my own Twitter timeline, like, you know, I did a piece in it, but there was Owen Cowser, Dan McDonald, several more journalists, Paul O'Hare, you name them, they all drop at the same time, and different people will read different articles, but by and large, it's still getting the message out there. But I suppose far too often this season, Dundalk's message has been about other stuff not connected with the next game or whatever. And it does, I think, it's only a personal opinion, but I do think that takes away from the fact that, you know, like, we played in Europe there against Newtown, and would you know there was a European match in town? Probably not.
No, and I don't blame Dundalk FC for that. I think there was no more, no less fucking, you know, talk about it. Like, there was always the flags around town. There was people talking about it. There was people being out in pubs and restaurants and stuff. So, like, it's COVID that's killed it, not Dundalk or not.
No. I did say COVID is, I think they can help themselves a little better is all I meant by that. But some people did, like, if you pass Jerry Curtis' house, like, with the flags and the bunting out, like, and I know there was other people as well, it keeps it up. But they're probably, like, in years gone by, there was, like, the club can take a lead on it as well, where they can, like, in years gone by, they were asking people to send in pictures of their flags up and stuff like that. You know, that's probably waned a little. And I know COVID has made it very, very difficult, and the sooner we're out of it, the better. Like, even Saturday, it's a minor thing, but there was 200 people there as opposed to 100 the previous week. So hopefully, whenever we play in Oriel again, which is, I think we're into August at that stage before we play in August now, or in Oriel now, but hopefully even by then it's a little higher again, and we do get back to some form of normality, because that's what it's all about. It's about going up there and, you know, mixing with people and having the debate about football, and yeah. I think we're all missing that at the moment.
Absolutely. Well, staying on Europe anyway, we learned on Monday that Dundalk, if they do progress against Livadia over the two legs, that they'll meet the Dutch side Vitesse in the next round. It seems remarkable that a seeded Irish team could meet an unseeded Dutch one. And here's what Vinnie Peart had to say on the prospect when asked by James about the matter earlier today.
Yeah, I think that sums up the unfairness, for want of a better word, of the new draw, the new system. I often say, it doesn't matter how good you are as a coach or a player, unless you're lucky, you've no real chance. The way this competition is weighted, or any European competition, you can be really unlucky in terms of, we had it with Kelja last year where people dismissed them, but they won their national league against really strong opposition, but they weren't seeded because they hadn't a history in Europe. And the same with this Dutch club, they haven't got the same history over the last number of years to help them. So we've been really, really unlucky. Not us, but the winners of this tie have been, whether it's us or Latvia Tallinn, have a really difficult tie. So there's still an unfairness to it, and that's the breaks you get. Maybe the club got some breaks last year and this year we're not getting them. That's just the way it goes. And we have to take the good with the bad. And listen, if you're going to progress in Europe, if you're going to end up at a group stages, whether it's the conference or I know Shamrock Rovers have a good draw and I really hope they get through that, but I still think they'll, because of their unseeding, they play at least one top team to get to a group stages. And I think no matter what, who you are coming from Ireland, you're going to play a top team at least once to get through to a group stage.
It's funny that everybody's kind of going, oh, well, that's the end of the road now for Dundalk if we do beat Tallinn. But, like, they're a team that, like, I think did they come fourth in the Eredivisie? Like, but they're not world beaters. They're not. And maybe I'm thinking pre this and, you know, the Kenny teams and all that, that if we did pull these boys, like, they're no better than Batty or Leggy or any of these boys, like, and they're worse actually, I would say, you know, they've, in my opinion, from following European football, they're not a European giant, they don't have European history, so they're definitely not somebody I'd be fearing. And if we do beat Tallinn, you know, we're maybe in a bit of form or in this, so I don't know, I definitely wouldn't be thinking it's game over just to, if we do pull them straight away.
It's probably the toughest draw you could have got. I'm not gonna rule us in or out in terms of, but the, like, I never thought I'd see a day where the, you know, reference it to Vinny today, where a seeded Irish team gets an unseeded Dutch team. Like, I mean, that's just mental. But stranger things have happened. I know they played Derry a couple of times, come back in the early 90s, I think it was, and Derry had a couple of good results against him without actually going through, but they'd probably be around the level of an AZ sort of 2016 sort of period. So we did draw with them, obviously, over there, lost in Tala 1-0, but I think that was a much better than Dockside. You know, Vitesse, I think, of a kind of link up with Chelsea as well. They get a lot of their players on loan, and it's you know, a lot of up and coming players, and you know, the Dutch youth academies are fairly strong, so like they are a decent side. But look, have to get through Livadia first, and that's not an easy one. I mean, they're top of their own league at the moment and going well. But I actually watched their game against St. Joseph's last week, and I wasn't overly impressed with them. And you look to, you know, they played B36 Tórshavn in Europe last year and got beaten over there in the Faroe Islands, albeit over one leg. And like Sonny Nadasad would have played in that game. And, you know, with all due respect to B36, I think if you were drawn against a team from the Faroes, you'd probably expect to beat them. So it's a tricky one. You know, I think the fact that, you know, we played each other before and won, I don't think it'll have much bearing. Like, I was looking at that team today because with Brian Gartland definitely out and Patrick Hooban, you know, probably not going to be involved, Michael Duffy's the only survivor from the 11 that would have played, or even the, you know, when you include the subs that played against them in 2018, that's likely to be involved on Thursday night. So it just goes to show you our turnaround, and they've had massive turnover as well. They've a few more players than us maybe still there, but by and large, it's a very different team. But again, I referenced them last year losing to Tórshavn. There's eight of that starting 11 still at the club. So that would for me give me the bit of hope. And the fact that I think the second leg, we played them in a ground that was in it. Can't think of the name of it now, but it was a small ground with a kind of athletic track around it. Whereas I think the second leg this time has been played in the Alacock Arena, which is the national stadium. So far, far bigger arena. And, you know, that might work in Dundalk's favour in many ways. We play in a better venue, in a bigger venue, and an inspiring venue at that, you know. So, fingers crossed. Look, the day we can take a result for granted in Europe, I don't think we can ever really do that. You know, as much as things have been building in the right direction, I think it needs to go up another step again from what we've seen in the games against Newtown and even against Harps, because I think we give up chances. Although we kept clean sheets, I think we give up chances that a better team will definitely punish you, and they will be a step up from those sort of opposition. So, but fingers crossed. I mean, we've raised it against better clubs as well in the past. So hopefully we do again.
Yeah, like it's definitely the talent. Fixture, fair enough, a bit of a test, like, but Talon, I've no fear of it. Like, and listen, I'm not saying we'll go through, as you say, but like, if we go out, I think it could be a goal. I was gonna say away goals, but obviously that's not a thing. I think it could be tight, and so it's, I think there's a big chance of that. And then, you know, once you're in the against Vitesse, then you know, anything can happen. But, hopefully, listen, this maybe does build a bit of kind of positivity and kind of interest in Europe that I was saying there's just such a lack of. Maybe it's even given me a kick in the arse to kind of, I don't know, get kind of support them, get behind it. Like, I don't know. It's just, I don't know, so much is kind of going on. Like, if we have the right team, if guys were back from COVID, if kind of, if we had money to do pre-match meals and training, you know, like, yeah. Who knows where
look,
we could go.
I think the one thing we can really look forward to going there in terms of, look, obviously results and all are, you know, we can't predict them really, but isn't it great that there's going to be 1,000 supporters there? Like,
yeah,
you know, just, I know it's, look, it's not a home game and as such, and that it's in Talla, but, you know, having been in Talla with 1,000 fans and having even watched games from Talla with 1,000 fans can make noise, and it would be great that if we could make that sort of noise, you know, on Thursday and get a bit of atmosphere going, because I think that's what's really been missing. You know, I've even watched a few other matches on LOI TV myself, and they're difficult watches, I think, without a crowd. And I think even the Premier League experience, you know, forget about the League of Ireland a second, but like, the crowds can make you think a sort of so-so game is better, I think, because, you know, there's a lot of Premier League football played with no crowds to, you know, it was fairly dull. But one thing I did just want to mention before we move on, because I know you have a couple of questions in, but Monday as well is Harry Taft's anniversary since his passing. I didn't want to sort of let the episode go. We might look to do something more on it maybe next week or in a couple of weeks' time, but I just thought it was such a, you know, big blow last year losing Harry, both as a club and a town, and obviously, look, his family first and foremost. But I think with the absence of supporters and the way grounds have been, for me anyway, just it doesn't seem real at times. I'm still expecting him to, you know, to walk around a corner in Oriel someday and see him there or something. But it's incredible that it's been a year now, and I think it's had such an impact on the club that, you know, people like him are priceless. And I just didn't want to let the anniversary, I think it's Monday 26th, Didn't want to let that go without just sort of giving Harry a mention, because he's such a, he's quite literally his initials on the back of the jersey, but like he's with the team still, and hopefully he'll help us to a few good results this week.
Definitely, definitely. Right, well, to move on to the kind of questions, I think we had a few questions in. There's questions from Fintan Kieran and Kevin Maguire, and they're kind of just referencing, as I know Kevin said, is Vinny staying or going? And kind of, I know we kind of referenced that as well. And Fintan was on about the talks of any contacts for players. Are we just kind of going to have the one senior player for next year as well? And I know we kind of went over that. But Daniel Shields asked, why is the game in Tala? And I know he's obviously referencing the fact that Bows are playing in the Aviva with 8,000 people. So was there a, I don't know if it's a bidding war or how these processes work, because I know obviously we pay whether it's Tala or the Aviva. So what was the, or if you know, what is the reasoning of that fact that the game was in Tala?
I don't think we could have this inaugural. I think it was something to do with the floodlights, that they need to be a certain standard for this level, which is, look, it's kind of ironic because the game, it's all to do with TV and stuff when it comes to floodlights in terms of HD quality and how to work with cameras and stuff. But like, I don't think these games are ever likely to be televised. But yeah, that's partially the reason it's in Tala. I think the Aviva option was explored, but there was probably a fear there, would they get to 6,000? Because it probably does cost, you know, it does cost to open up a venue like that. So, look, I think Tala is somewhere that suits them. You know, even last year, going back to the Europa League group stage, I thought the Molde game played very well there. And in parts, probably unlucky enough to, you know, not come away with something in that. But I don't want to bring it up all the time and be completely negative, but like, I think it was, I saw it on Twitter the other day, someone saying this is our 18th home match in Europe since 2016. And 11 of them now have been away from Oriel Park. So 7 took place in Oriel. This will be, I think, the 7th in Tala, and it was 4 in the Aviva. And you know, it's probably okay, less so for this one, because you know, with COVID etc, you're probably not missing out that much. But I mean, what a loss to the town. It's, you know, in terms of the business, like, could you imagine it became a sort of non event anyway last year because of COVID, but could you imagine playing Arsenal in Dundalk and the amount of supporters that would come from London, from all over the world, maybe, you know, even all over Ireland, to a game like that and spend money in the town. And I think,
how many haircuts would these Arsenal fans need? That's what I think. Like,
well, they'd probably get it before they came here. But yeah, but like, it is, it's like, Dundalk has been on the map in Europe for a very long time. And yes, it's not. Like, I mean, we were discussing it there under normal circumstances. Wouldn't it be lovely to be looking up how to get to Arnhem now? And, you know, maybe, you know, I think over 1,000 fans went to Alkmaar. And what did they spend in Alkmaar just in that sort of, you know, midweek, you know, as well? Like, you know, like, it would be phenomenal for an area. And yet we've lost that. And that, to me, if this is like, I hope we're back in Europe next year, I really, really do. But if this is the end of our sort of unbroken run in Europe, like, I mean, what a pity that, you know, we've had from 2014 to what, 2021, all these brilliant European adventures, and
we've nothing to show for it. We've yeah, had memories of, yeah, all the lads talking about pints.
Yeah,
and
it's
no
great
legacy.
Memories, but it's great memories. But there's nothing to, yeah, there's nothing to say. Like, that's, you know, I mean, this town would be just buzzing on a European night. You know, it really would. And I think, look, the very future of the sort of club is very much up in the air at the moment. But I mean, I just hope something can be done, because
outdoor, like, I think we should have a few murals, but I think somewhere, whether it's a shed or something
murals,
to start.
But
no, not murals. Let me finish. Well, I do think murals actually are nice, but however, all over the place, but a little museum, a tiny little museum. And anybody that has mementos, whether it's all the programs, all the jerseys, pictures of like Benson's goal in a big frame, you know, our 2016 run, our 2020 or 21. Look, yeah,
they're nice things, don't get me wrong. But I think what we need is a plan. Like, I mean, there's been plans for plan's sake over the years in this country in terms of football. Like, we all seen the drawings for the Bertie Bowl and all this stuff. Like, a few years ago, Pats were building a ground on top of a shopping centre, you know, and a lot of these things never come to pass. But God, at least there were plans, you know. It's like, we don't even have that. I know some drawings were done up in the past, but like, it's just frustrating again to, I mean, we're coming up on that. Like, it was 5 years today since we beat FH in Iceland. And, you know, obviously the game after that was Bate. And I think I remember coming down the road after that Bate game, and I was buzzing. I think the whole town was buzzing. And it was Tuesday night or something. And thinking, oh, geez, get back. Come on, we need to go celebrate. And like, by the time you're halfway down the M1, the buzz is just gone. Like, it's... Yeah. And that's, you know, it's obviously you're still delighted with the result, but you're not, you know, rushing to get to the Lily White Lounge or something, which is probably closed at that point anyway. It's, you know, it takes a lot of the good away from it. It takes a lot of the memories away from it. And I don't know. So I that's my wish, that something, I know we need to there's probably small or bigger, pressing issues in the short term, but I mean long term, at least start something. I mean, if I want to, it's like anyone, if they want to buy a house, this at some point or another, to start saving for a mortgage, you know. And we haven't even done that as a club. So I think there comes a point where I think you have to say, like, what do we even spend on Tala this week? Like, I heard reports that, you know, Rovers were even looking to charge the lads doing the stream for the use of their broadband and stuff like that. Now, like, I mean, that's petty stuff, to be honest. But
petty stuff, but they're dead fucking right. Do you know what I mean? Like, in a weird
maybe,
way.
But what I'm saying is, we're already wasting all this money. I mean, like, what did Bill Hulsizer say last year when we rented Tala for the Malda game? It was a 50,000 it was costing because there was so much had to be done. And I know that's group stage football and there's extra stuff, but I mean, Jesus, Witten, 50,000. I don't Witten Bill much in terms of a ground for us, but wouldn't it be a great start, you know, to say, well, they're 50,000, right? Let's get it to 100,000. Let's get to 200, you know, start somewhere. And I know, look, the supporters club is sort of off the ground now. And I think the likes of Brendan Ogle's going to be on some sort of committee in relation to it. But we've also lost out, I think, on a lot. There's, you know, the old saying, make hay when the sun shines, and we definitely didn't do that. We definitely didn't do that.
Yeah, well, as I said, you know, let's hope that the European run continues, that the owners want to stay on, that they want to invest in the ground, that even as a club we can invest in the ground. But like, let's hope that some things come to fruition anyway. But before we do actually end up again, I'm going to make a quick plug again for the golf classic that I'm doing for SOSAD, the Suicide Prevention Agency. Again, it's in Greenore, in Greenore Golf Club. If anybody does want to join in, help, even if they want to donate, you can go to sosadireland.ie/golf. All the info is there. There is actually just, when you register, you can donate money, even if you can't play and stuff like that. So again, it's on Friday the 30th of July. So if anybody does want to get involved, that's the URL and all to get involved, or just contact myself. And again, we'll put you in on the playing list anyway.
The good news is, Dundalk don't play that night.
So you can have pints and all. Right, well, that's it for us for this week. Thanks for joining in. Thanks for listening. I know it's probably been a long listen for people tonight. But you can follow us on Twitter at Pressbox Dundalk, or you can drop us an email for something you'd like to discuss. That's at info@pressbox.ie. The podcast is available on all major podcast apps, and you can find a link to all of them at pressbox.ie. I've been Craig Colgan with James Rogers. Thanks again for listening. Look how the stars turn on. Look how the stars turn on.